that is the truth, our Father. That is so the truth. You are what we need. Jesus is what we need. The Spirit of the living God, the Holy Trinity, that's what we need. We yield to you. We lean on you. We hear from you. Penetrate everybody's heart. Let them hear the thing that they need to hear, and from that they will never depart. It'll ring in their spirit over and over again and be to their rescue and their deliverance. The Word that is living, the Spirit that delivers, the cross and the empty tomb that provides the great plan of rescue. And we thank you for that. We listen to you today. We listen, Father, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hebrews 11, that's where we were last week. We're going to go on to chapter 12, but I'm going to review chapter 11. You remember it starts with the definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That word substance is the word assurance. Faith is the assurance of what you hope for. The word hope is what you expect. It's not what you cross your fingers and expect, you think might happen. Surely hope it'll happen. That's an Americanization of a very solid word. When you hope for something, you know it is going to happen. Amen. You know that. And so faith gives that substance. And then we have all these people of faith. Now they're important to us when we start with chapter 12. Because it says wherefore, which is therefore in the Greek. It doesn't matter if you say wherefore or therefore. Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Wherefore connects chapter 12 and what he's going to say to us about the chastening of the Lord. And this is very important to you because the church has taught for a long time, not this church, but the church world has taught that sickness is the chastening of the Lord. Yes. And that is wrong. Wrong, wrong. I'm going to prove that to you today. And that's why we're going deeper into chastening than we usually would, because I want us to throw that wrong word out. Now it says, wherefore we are compassed about, or we're surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. Now there's a couple of things that you've probably heard that are not correct. One is, these are not witnesses looking over the banner of heaven to see how you're doing. Is that what you heard? Throw that away. Throw that away. These are witnesses, your witness to faith. When you need faith, when you need encouragement, when you need strength, you go to some of these people. You go to Noah that built an ark on dry land. And according to the experts, depends on who you read, it took him 50 to 75 years to build that ark on dry land, in a country, a world that had not ever seen rain. So what concept he had of rain and flood is a mystery. But he came in obedience. See, when I have something hard to do, something I would tremble over, something that's I'm insecure about, I go to the cloud of witnesses. Now, the cloud means two things. First, it means a number. They use that in ancient history to mean a number. A cloud was a large number. It also means height. And we have, at great height, Abraham and Moses, Samson, Sarah, all these people who fought a good fight, who finished their course. And we want to finish our course. We want to stick with the plan. Now, the reason we can understand the plan is because of God chastens us. The word chastening does not mean punishment. You're going to throw all these things out, right? We are compassed about with a great cloud of winds. Lay aside every weight. Now, you notice, run with patience the race that's set before you. The race that's set before you, in other words, there's a race. That's the race of life. That's the things you're supposed to accomplish. So some things we're all going to accomplish, and some things I'm going to accomplish that you're not going to accomplish. Everybody's race is corporate and individual. And so we have a race set before us, and the weights are going to lay aside a weight. In other words, get rid of that thing that's going to prevent you from running successfully. Now, Wayne was military, and they got up every morning and ran in their full uniform and their boots. Now, that's not the way you want to run track. But that was for them necessary during the time of war. But we have some things that are going to hinder us, that are going to be made clear to us by the Spirit, and we're going to lay those aside. Weight is not illegal or immoral, it's just not right for you. Now, I used to play tennis, and I had a babysitter. The children were little, and I had a babysitter one day a week, and I had a tennis partner. And we had a wonderful time playing tennis, and the Lord began to deal with me to not play tennis anymore. Well, I didn't understand that. First of all, I wasn't good at it, but I really liked it, and it was a good exercise. I kept telling the Lord, but this is really good for me. It was a weight to me, because next thing you know, I'm teaching three groups a week on different lessons. And I just didn't have time. I couldn't divide myself. And see, the Lord tried to prepare me. It wouldn't be a weight for you. You can play tennis all you want to, but it was a weight for me. It was wrong for me. It was bad for me. And the Lord begins to deal with us with the things that are in our way, the things that will hinder us from getting to the end of the race. And then sin, of course, is going to be a hindrance. Now, there are all kinds of diseases. There's the open door disease. That's the disease that came in because of your sin. You go from man to man, woman to woman, you're going to get some strange disease. You open to the door. God does not send disease into our life. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The thief. God comes to bring what? Life. To bring life. And it says abundant life. And that word abundant means superior in quantity and quality. Yes. Now, one or the other, we'd be happy with quantity, we'd be happy with quality, but God says, I'll do both for you. Quantity and quality. That means you're giving a birthday party and you have 20 guests, 20 little guests, and you only have a $20 bill. You're not going to have, you may get 20 of something, but you're not going to have quality with your $20 bill for 20 guests. God said, I'm going to give you the best there is and the most you can hold. Now, disease is not in that category, is it? Disease is not a blessing. And then James 1:17 says, every good gift comes from above. Well, when's the last time you had disease? And you thought, that was so wonderful. I just loved that. Disease is never a blessing. One gentleman told me he had heart failure, that the Lord caused the heart failure. See, that's contrary to Scripture. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The Lord caused the heart failure because he was going to be able to minister to the man in the bed next to him. Now, I'm glad he was a vocal minister, and he did win that man to the Lord. But it wasn't the Lord that sent him there. Anybody could have come through the door, nurse, technician. We used to have a team here that would go door to door. I don't know that they allow that now. But at the hospital and say, we're here praying for people today. Would you like prayer? You don't have to be sick to minister. In fact, when's the last time you were sick and it increased your enthusiasm and your trail for God? Sick people are harder to minister to because their thinking is polluted by fever, by pain. They're not the best hearers. I went to visit a lady, actually in her place of business, and talked to her. They called me later and said, please visit her in the hospital. And I went to the hospital and I talked to her. And then they called the church again and said, would you send Sister Becky back up here for the third time? And I was very sick that day. I was an extraordinarily gifted cougher that day. And so I found somebody that would go for me. But see, because of her sickness, she needed to hear what I said again and again and again. She wanted to hear it again. Tell me that again. Tell me that again. Well, we are compassed about or surrounded by all of these people who fought a good fight, who finished their course. And when I'm struggling in any way to get to the end of the race, do you know the story of the tortoise and the hare? Do you know the story of the little engine that could? Y'all are so smart. A hare was making fun of a tortoise for moving so slowly. The tortoise, tiring of the hare's gibes, how about how slow he was on his feet, eventually challenged the hare to a race. He said, I'll race you, hare, and I'll win. The hare agreed to the challenge. A fox was found who set the course of the race and who was going to judge the winner at the end. When the race started, the hare bounded off in front, making good progress. He was so far ahead of the tortoise, he decided he could afford to stop and rest. The tortoise was so far behind, it didn't matter if he took a nap, he thought. See, it's faith and patience that inherits the promise. You don't have time for a break. However, the hare fell asleep, and as he lay sleeping, the tortoise continued to plod along at his slow pace. In time, he reached the finish line and won the race. Because he kept on keeping on. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. He didn't surrender. You know, sometimes we're discouraged. So this isn't working for me. And we intend to take a little break. But that's a mistake. One gentleman said he read, I think it was John 2, to his wife every single day, as many times as she wanted to hear it. That's the passage that she wanted to hear that helped her. She had cancer, and she did fully and completely recover. But he said every time she wanted scripture, see, he continued. He helped her continue. She couldn't continue by herself because she was very, very ill. But he helped her to continue and read that scripture to her over and over and over again. Now, if we have any problem at all, we can't give up, we can't quit. Do you see it says run with patience? You know what patience means? It means hang in there. Don't quit, don't stop, don't surrender. And in the Greek, it means hang in there cheerfully. Cheerfully. Now, cheerfully is not, it's an effort when you don't feel well. And when I wake in the middle of the night, I raise my hands to heaven. Wayne doesn't pay attention. He's a sound sleeper. And I say, oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Not quite that loud. He would wake up. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Thank you for this night of sound sleep. Thank you, you give your beloved sleep. I'm running with joy. If you're running in dread, you're not going to get to the finish line. You've got to keep on. Now, it says this race is set before you, so this is something, a pathway that you knew that God had dealt with you about. And your race would be different than mine. We would have similarities, but we would have differences. Now, it says, if we have any trouble, one thing we're going to do, of course, we're going to go to the Word and go to Jesus' sacrifice, but one thing we're going to go to is the people who won their race. And in chapter 11, these are the people that won the race. You know, when God told Abraham to take Isaac top of the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice, Abraham, it says, and the next morning, he immediately took action to obey God. That couldn't have been easy for him. This was the only begotten son, the son that was to be the heir of all of the lineage of Israel. And it says in Hebrews, because he knew God was able to raise him from the dead. It was the knowledge he had that kept him running the race. Now, if I have any trouble on my race, to think about Abraham, to think about Sarah carrying a child on her 90th birthday, does that sound like a good idea to you? I checked my statistics. Used to, the oldest woman to have a child was 63. Now there's one at 75 who's had a child. That's what I thought too. Wow. But she wouldn't surrender her faith. See, if I just keep looking, okay, it's a long race. Sometimes it's a long race. Have you noticed that? I think it was Marilyn Hickey said, God is never late. It's frequently last minute. And I like that. And it's a long race. And I'm going down this long race. And I'm discouraged. I'm supposed to run this race with patience. This race is set before me. It's been revealed to me. This is a direction for you, Becky. Keep running. Keep running. Well, what I do is grab Wayne. Get somebody to help. If you don't have anybody at your house to help you, you have somebody you can call on the phone at 3 a.m. You know, your 3 a.m. person. We promote that person all the time. I have a couple people's 3 a.m. Person because we have some relatives with, I am the available relative. And so they call, and I'm glad. And you can even text us if you have our information. If you don't, Wayne will give that, or Suzanne can give that to you. And you can text us, and we'll get back to you. And here's what I do. This just works for me. I'm going to pray in the Spirit, and then I'm going to text you a prayer in English. When I get in the Spirit and English comes to me, I'm going to text that to you and print that to you, and it's going to say, in Jesus' mighty name, and whatever words I picked up in the Spirit, I'm going to text you so you know that's not all I prayed, but that's the synopsis of what I prayed. Now, I'll tell you how that happened. We've been to Scotland ministering, and there was a little girl after we were there. Her mother, she was in her teens. She was to have radical surgery. She would never be able to have children. And her daddy was a sea captain, and so they're not allowed to communicate because of the competition between fishermen. So they couldn't get in touch with him, and they're going to operate on her. And so she texted and said, she had heard of Pastor Reggie through me, and she said, would you have Pastor Reggie pray for her? So he prayed and he texted. That's the first time I never thought of that. She was totally, completely healed. Amen. Prayer in print.
Amen. Yes.
You know, like the Lord's Prayer?
Yes.
Prayer in print. And she's an adult today with children. And then one day I had a word for a lady. I knew I had. And I don't usually share those things unless the Lord deals with me. But I know the Lord dealt with me. She needed this word. And I called. And she's not home. And I got the answering machine. And then I had this flash of lightning. I'll just prophesy to the answering machine. And I did. And when I did, she called and said that she had heard it over and over again. The fact that it was recorded had helped her. See, there's a way for you to communicate, a way for you to be steady on the race, and a way for you to keep somebody else moving steady. There's a race set before you. This is not, guess what am I supposed to do? No, you know by the Spirit. There's something set before you. Now, it says, looking unto Jesus. That's how we're going to run this race, okay? We're going to lay aside the heavy things, the weight. You know, in parts of Georgia, children's backpack have to be vinyl. They have to be clear. They cannot be material. You have to be able to see into the backpack without opening it. See, and God can see into your heart. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what would encourage you and keep you on the road. And if I'm fixing to sit and quit down, well, for Wayne would be the first one to know. But God knows. See, and He's going to do whatever's necessary to keep me running the race. This is your set race. This is what you should do. So after I quit playing tennis, I would go to every now and then just by myself and hit against the wall. And after a while, I realized what the Lord was doing. It was just too busy. Too busy, too busy. Three groups a week, different lessons. That's a really big deal. It says, now we're going to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. He started it, He finishes it.
Amen.
Now listen to this. You ever had a bologna sandwich? Bread on one side, bread on the other. Who is the bread of life? The Lord Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Bread, Jesus, Jesus. Now you're going to mayonnaise that. I don't like mayonnaise, but you can mayonnaise yours. Mayonnaise that. Mayonnaise is oil, and that's the Holy Spirit. It's going to take the bread of life and massage it with the Holy Spirit. And then in the middle of this wonderful combination, He's going to put you, and you're nothing more than baloney. That's the truth. But the bologna is being held together by the oil of the Spirit and the bread of life.
Amen.
And that's what this says. Author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured. The word endured is in the Scripture 96 times. What does that tell you? That life is going to require some endurance. And it says, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down. In other words, He came to the fullness of all He was to accomplish. He accomplished everything. He rose from the dead. He put His blood on heaven's altar. He came back and walked with the disciples. And then He went to the throne of heaven to sit down until He comes again. He accomplished His task. And that's the purpose of all these witnesses. Now, cloud of witnesses is an expression that would be used in the old Olympic races, you know, in Jesus' day. And the top rows of whatever it was they were building there, wherever they were sitting, was called the cloud. And when you got to sit in the cloud, you had a view of everything that was going on, see. And the athletes on the field are going to run harder because of your enthusiasm, because you're with them, because you're... And these are people who won. I looked up several references, and one said, people who stood the test of time and saw their faith manifested. Now, anybody can quit. Quitters never win. And then when you decide quitting wasn't working for you, you got to go back and find out where you were when you quit. You got to hook back up. Now, look. The reason we're covering this is because chastening is not a disease. It never was. It never will be. God is not going to give you cancer because you missed what He assigned you to do. It isn't going to happen. And you hear that so much, and I don't cover this too often, but I felt led. Now look at verse 5. You've forgotten the exhortation. An exhortation is not what you think. It's a word of encouragement. You can do this. You can run this race. Keep moving. What happens in the military, Wayne, if you, running in your uniform and your boots, decided to sit down? That's not good, is it? So we got a race set before us. We've got a divine assignment. We've got something we want to do. We're empowered. And we're looking at Jesus the whole time because he's going to start this and finish it. And all I'm going to do is cooperate with him who started it and him who finished it and keep running. I may be a little slow like the tortoise, but it doesn't matter. If I don't quit, I'll get there. Now, an exhortation is not a disease. It's a word of encouragement. It's not a disease. Speaking unto you as unto children. Exhortation speaks to the children. You're a child of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And exhortation speaks to the children. It encourages the children. It tells the children, keep running, keep running. I'm with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. You're on the right path. I don't know where I was raised in church, been in church all my life, so I don't know where you've been, but all of this chapter always spoke to me of God knocking you flat on your back because you didn't do too well. Is that what you thought? That's wrong. It's very wrong. He exhorts you. And exhorts you as a child. Now, if you exhort your children by beating them, the government of the United States of America is offended. And they are going to come and arrest you. And depending upon what has happened, they may put you in prison or jail. One lady was offended because I said prison, because she wasn't in prison, she was in jail. I don't know the difference. Whatever. Wherever you were, you were locked up. You were locked up. And God's going to speak to you like a child. And the government, if you beat your child, one teacher told this story. She had a child she felt like was being beaten, but she couldn't prove that, and you can't undress a child in school. They wouldn't appreciate that. And so one day, you know, God provides. God is so good. He's going to exhort you. He's going to say, wait a minute now, wait a minute, wait a minute. Listen to me. You're on the wrong road. Thank God. Thank God he does. I can't get to the end of my race without him. Well, a bug flew down this little boy's shirt. And she had to lift his shirt to get the bug out. He couldn't get the bug out, and he was doing quite a song and dance. He was really offended. And she could see he had not been beaten. Is God good? Is he good to you? Amen. Is he going to warn you? He's going to say, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. And then it says, he's going to warn you like you were his child, which you are. My son, one lady told me she had girls. She's a single mother, and she had girls, and she went in to punish one of them. And when she got to the door of the bedroom, the Lord spoke to her and said, I'm not going in there with you because you're so angry. God is not mad at you. He wants to do all he can to get you to the end of the race. To keep you on track. And that's why he's going to exhort you or encourage you. And then he says he's going to chasten you. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. How many times has somebody said something to you or corrected you in your child and you said, you just really didn't want to hear it? No, it says you better listen up and hear from God. When he begins to speak and deal with you, you better sit with him until you know why he's spoken to you. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. The word chastening means to educate, to tutor, to train. What did you think it meant? You thought it meant he's going to beat you up. And if God beats you up, he goes to prison because it's illegal, immoral. He's going to say, hey, I think God whistles. I can't whistle, but if I could, I would. I think God whistles. He's going to say, hey, hey. Now, one day I've been teaching for over 40 years. Long, long ago, I taught two lessons in a row, and they just didn't seem to go over, and the anointing wasn't very strong. I couldn't figure that out. So the next week, after the first week, I doubled up my effort. I prayed longer. I studied harder and had the exact same results. It didn't go over. It didn't seem right. And I realized the anointing, something's wrong with the anointing. Where was the anointing? I teach by the anointing. I don't have too many notes. I don't write it out and read it. I teach by what I have in my heart. And if I don't connect with my heart, I don't do well. And that's what happened. So right after that, they called a meeting at the church, and I was in no mood for a meeting, but I went. I sat at the end of the table. I don't know that I was listening to what they were saying. They were going to make some changes. And when they dismissed, I went out. They're all going out this door, so I went out this door. I don't talk to you. I don't talk to anybody. Something's wrong. Something is wrong. See, God chastens you. He wants me to know how to make that, and I don't remember what it was. But I remember when I came out this way, Pastor Reggie chased me into the parking lot. And he said, "What in the world's wrong with you?" And I said, "I've missed it, God. I've had no anointing 2 weeks in a row. I don't know. That's the only time in 40 years that's ever happened." I said, "I don't know what I've done. I don't know what's happened. I don't know how to change it." He said, "I'll pray." So a few days later, he called me to come to the church office, and I came. And when I began to sit down, he said, "I will tell you," and he didn't have to say a word. Immediately, my spirit connected with his spirit with what he had found out, and I knew where I need to make a correction. I knew it. God was chastening me. He didn't make me sick. He wasn't beating me up. He wanted me to finish the race successfully, and what I had done, he didn't. I don't remember now what it was, but he didn't want me to do it anymore, and I didn't want to do it anymore. Now here, there's two things in this scripture. One, it's me. One, it's not me. It says, "Whom the Lord loveth, he chastens." Whom he loves. Why did he correct you? You're on the wrong road. Or you're carrying too much weight. You should put some things down. And you didn't. You've forgotten the exhortation verse I speak to you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you're rebuked. So this isn't anything that's going to cause us to faint, curl up in a knot, and not get up out of the floor for 6 weeks. Oh, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why. I won't tell you. I was the happiest person you've ever seen in your life when Pastor, he rose his hand to speak to me. And when he did, and it snapped in my heart what I needed to correct. And I shouted all the way home because I knew how to fix it. Amen. It's not why did you get sick. It's how can we fix this, God? How can we fix this? How can I fix this? What do I need to do? Now, if you endure, there's that word endure that appears 96 times. Endure is a process, usually. God deals with you. Who's dealing with you? Now look at verse 8. If you are without chastisement, chastening chastisement is training, it's education, it's instruction. It isn't disease. God is not mad at you and made you sick, because every good gift comes from above. And sickness is not a... When's the last time you had a wonderful case of the flu? Oh, that was great, wasn't it? I didn't have to go to work. I didn't have to cook. I didn't have to get out of bed. My children didn't have to go to school because they all caught it from me. That's the proximity disease. You can just get disease because somebody breathed on you. You knew that, right? Because over the... Wayne and I have been married 58 years. And just a couple of times, one of us breathed on the other one. I think it was you, honey, last time. You came home from the barber shop, remember? Yeah, and you brought me... Uh-huh, you remember that? That was... You were first. It's the proximity disease. What are you going to do when somebody next to you breathes on you? Lift up your shield of faith. Amen. Say, no weapon formed against me prospers. Amen. The tongue that rises in judgment is condemned. God has made an utter end, Nahum 1:7. God has made an utter end. God has made an utter end. I have said that so many times. God has made an utter end. God has made an utter end. This is over. This is finished. God has made an end. God has made an end. That's the scripture. God didn't start it, but he sure knows how to end it. Well, are y'all all right out there? If I'm hollering at you, everything okay? If you're without chastisement, it goes on to say you're not a son. In other words, God isn't going to refuse to speak to you. And if you think that, people don't think that every now and then, they just think, I just never hear from God. God wants to speak to every son and to chasten them, to exhort them, to encourage them, sometimes to rebuke them, but this is God's education program, to keep you. You got a race set before you, and you got to run it with patience, and you can't sit down like the tortoise. You got to keep running no matter how slow you are, and you've got to get to the finish line. And the Spirit of the living God, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will get there. And if you think it's by disease, then you won't get there. Did you notice that disease slows you down?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I'm not telling that. Verse 9, furthermore, that's an important word. So he said, you've got this. You've got a race to run. You got to keep running. You got to be patient. You got to keep carrying on. Keep running. Keep running. You got to listen in case God changes the course, or you get off course, or he wants you to put something down that's too heavy for you, that's interfering with your running the race. You watched, I didn't watch the Olympics except the commercial that came past. None of those runners were carrying backpacks. And sometimes the backpack is in our mind. It's in our emotions. It's our thoughts. We think, oh my gosh. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. I'm not sure that's real true of everybody, but so be it. Shall we not much or be in subjection to the Father of spirits and what? And what? And live. Now, there are four things here. If I listen to God, if I hear from God, if I keep running this race, if I'm patient and steadfast, if I don't give up and quit, and I listen to God when he changes course or he corrects my course, the first thing that's going to happen, because it says be in subjection, that means I'm a good listener and I'm obedient. It's okay, God, I'll do that. The first thing that's going to happen is going to bring me life. The word of the Lord is going to quicken your steps. It's going to bring you life. It's going to change things for your good. That's the first thing. And then it says, don't you wish I could see without my glasses? I do. And it will happen, but it hadn't happened yet. Okay, they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our what? For our profit. That means this is going to, if I find out what God is saying, it's going to bring great gain. And he's going to deal with me like a father. Mm-hmm. Now, my daddy never beat us. There are three of us. He never beat us. I think one time he probably wanted to, but he didn't. And he wouldn't. And he doesn't. You're going to have, just by getting on the right road and laying down the weight. And I don't know what would be a weight to you. Tennis was a weight to me. It's not illegal. It's not immoral. It just wasn't on my schedule. I scheduled it, and God marked it out. Because I've got these groups to teach, and I have to be accurate. And some days it takes a long time. I've been under this lesson. I haven't taught this lesson in years and years. And sometimes it just takes a long time to get your thinking together again. And then it says, that we might be partakers of his following God, listen to his word, being chastened, being encouraged, being strengthened, hearing what he wants us to do is going to keep us on the path of holiness. Well, you didn't want to be on the path of unholiness, did you? Do you know sometimes you might be on that path? And the Holy Ghost is going to come along. I've heard him. He sounds like my mother. She always said, Becky Sue, And I always want to say, it's Debbie's fault. But usually it wasn't. I'm the older, and I'm quite a bit older. And so I don't know if this is just my theory or if it's true, but the older person usually gets the blame. Does that ring a bell for anybody? One nod. Well, okay. It's not important. That we might be talking. Now look, verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Now, that's only partially true. It's not true for me. The day I found out what mistake I'd made and how to correct it, I was one happy camper. I wasn't disappointed. I wasn't upset. I said, thank God. I know what that is, and I can fix that. Next time I teach, I'll have strong anointing like I usually do. Now, this chapter covers both. It covers the ones that are upset, and it covers the ones who are filled with joy because God spoke. Either side of the fence is okay. as long as it gets you right running the race. Not with disease. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. There's nothing about chasing that's going to kill you. It may hurt your feeling, but it isn't going to kill you. It isn't going to destroy your life. Right?
Right.
I'm just going to say, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'll do that. You know, Jesus in the garden, what did he say? Not my will, but thine be done. And sometimes that's the case. It's that in the path I'd have chosen. That isn't what I really wanted to do. But not my will, but yours. Because we make him Lord. We make him complete in authority. We surrender fully to him. I used to do altar calls. I've done everything here but youth. And I've just done everything but youth. And I was doing altar calls that day, and a group of five or six boys from some home were there, and they answered the altar call, and they all wanted to be saved. And I said, well, I'm so glad you came to make Jesus Lord of your life. And this kid in the back said, oh, my gosh. He just came because he didn't want to go to hell, but he didn't intend to surrender. He didn't have any idea he didn't come to surrender. He said he just didn't want to go to hell, but he wasn't surrendering. Well, we've got a problem there, but... No chastening for the plant seems to be grieved. It doesn't matter if it grieves you or if it fills you with joy. If it grieves you and you correct it, then you can be filled with joy. You can think, whoo, thank God that's over. Thank God that's over. Kind of like if you're not, Wayne's a lawn and outdoor person. But if you're not, we have some anti-lawn people. And the happiest day of their life is when they're finished. When it's over. Our property goes underwater in heavy rain. The back end of it. We had a pond bird convention just the other day. You know the pond bird, also called the cowbird. Do you know him? Uh-huh. Y'all look like you just moved here from New York. Do you know the pond bird or the cowbird or not?
Yes.
Well, they were all at my house. Afterwards, do you see that word afterward? That's the best word in verse 12. Verse 11 it is. Afterward. There's an afterward. There's a conclusion. There's an end to this. There's a point when I get it. God, I get it. I get it. I'm going to fix that. Afterward. Do you see?
Yes.
My mom used to love that song. When I come to the end of the way, when I come to the end of life's day, there's going to be an end to some things. It's just going to be an end. You're going to get it together. You are going to finish the race. You are going to be on the right path. You are going to make the corrections. Now, my brother was a college student in Texas, and we had been in Oklahoma, so we came through Texas to visit with him for a couple of days. And we were in Paris, Texas, on our way to, where were we on our way to? Fort Worth? Somewhere. And Wayne was tired. I don't like to drive, and I haven't driven but two or three times in 20 years or 25 years. I don't drive. I don't like to drive. I have Wayne to drive. I have a chauffeur. If you need a chauffeur, you need to start believing now. I have a very good chauffeur. Suzanne sometimes chauffeurs her mother, too, because, and occasionally, you know, Joel has to be called. I'm not driving unless I am desperate. One hurricane I drove. Okay, I don't know why I told y'all that. Oh, we were in Paris, Texas. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And Wayne says, I'm too tired to drive. Would you drive? This is the interstate. He stayed awake long to get me out on the interstate. And he said, don't turn off of this road for any reason whatsoever. I said, fine. And so after a while, he woke up and he said, how come the sun's on the east? It should be on... I said, Wayne, I am on the road you put me on. I am right here where you put me. He said, it doesn't look right. Right back to sleep. So I just kept driving, and within an hour, a little over an hour, I passed a restaurant where we had lunch. I just drove in a circle. I was on the wrong road. Now hear me. Don't fuss at your friends, but your friends can get you on the wrong road. Jesus is the author and the finisher. It was God that told Abraham you would have a child. It was God that changed his name. It was God that sent him to the promised land, and he wandered his entire life without having a place of permanent residence because God had spoken. It was God that told Noah to build an ark, there's going to be a flood. And he did that because God had spoken. It's God's word. If your word doesn't match God's word, I'll say, well, thank you for being concerned about me, and I don't listen to a thing you say. Because I'm not going to let you put me on the wrong road. There is a place set before me. There is a place set before me. And if I hear from God, it says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. See, and then I'll be on the right road because I'm connected to the God of heaven who knows the right road. Amen. Have you ever thought you was on the right road and you was on the wrong road? Are you ever down the road? We were going to come around our usual route today, but there was an ambulance and fire engine blocking the road, and there was a lot of hubbub, so we had to go another way. There was things in our way. And if you can't get where you're going, you need to stop and pray and ask God, is this the road? Is this the race? Now, it says patience and endure. This may not happen as quickly as you like. But it's not a disease. Now, let me give you know your categories of diseases. I'm going to give them to you. The first one is the proximity disease. I mean, Wayne just breathed on me. That's what it was. Came home from the barber shop and brought some dread curse, and it's the proximity curse. I remember as a little girl, myself and two friends were, my mama worked there, these two girls' mama worked, and this little old lady had volunteered to keep us. We all had chicken pox, and we were all lined up in her bed for days. This is the proximity disease. Don't let anybody breathe on you. I'm not talking about breath. I'm talking about lift your shield of faith. So this affliction shall not arise in this temple. The proximity disease. Then there's the open door disease. That's sin. You open the door. It says, don't give the devil a place, and somehow you gave the devil a place. Mm-hmm. So if I think that's at all what it is, I think, Lord, how'd I close this door? I'm not so interested in why it happened. One minister said to his congregation, I never, ever ask the Lord, why did this happen to me? I always ask him, how do we fix this? And that's a better question. And then you have the ignorance curse. My people perish for lack of knowledge. You just thought, everybody gets sick. We all get sick. Don't we all get sick? Everybody gets sick. Don't you get sick? We get sick. Well, ignorance disease is solved by spending time in the Word and time in the Spirit. The proximity curse is by, you know, I can't make Wayne move out, so I'm going to lift my shield of faith. Plus, I might make him stay in a different room, too. I don't know, maybe. And then the open door curse, I'm going to correct that. Whatever I've done that opened the door that gave the devil entrance. And then there's a who knows curse. How'd that happen? Sometimes we get so challenged and so overwrought. Well, how'd that happen? How'd that happen? I don't know how that happened. I've never had that happen before. And that shouldn't have happened to me. And we get all, and all the time you're wondering about how that happened, why that happened, you're not listening to how you can correct it. It's not how it happened. The secret things, the scripture says, the secret things belong unto the Lord. You know what that means? Some things God's not going to tell you. Secret things. He keeps secrets. Aren't you glad God keeps secrets? Isn't there some things you wouldn't want God to tell? Y'all are all perfect? Huh? There are some things I wouldn't want God to tell. A couple of times I said, you're not going to tell that, are you? You're not going to tell that. The key is not, how did this happen? The key is, how do I fix this, God? What do I do? And then I'm going to go to the Word, the 91st Psalm, or the 103rd Psalm, or James chapter 1, verse 17. Now, it says, if you being evil, listen to this, Matthew 7:11. You being evil, which means normal, natural, you're a human being, you make mistakes. You being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more? See, you know not to beat your children. That's what he's saying. You're evil, you're normal, you're natural, but you know not to beat on your children. how much more shall the Father in heaven, how much more shall the Father in heaven give good things? Give what?
Good things.
Give what?
Good things.
When's the last time you had a wonderful case of anything? I was so sick one day. The kids were both in elementary school, and I, Wayne picks up Suzanne. She's in kindergarten, but I was asleep when I was supposed to go get Joel, so I wasn't there. And when I woke up, I was hours late, and they had him sitting in the office. And the principal, who was a fine man, said, "And where has Mother been?" I was asleep when I should have been listening. God wants you to listen to Him. He's going to map out where you should be, how long you should stay there, how do you get there. And if you're sick, that's a totally different thing. Are you all right?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're going to quit whining? Everybody say, I will quit whining.
I will listen to God.
I will endure. Nobody likes to endure, but sometimes the road to victory is patience, endurance.